It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
And welcome to another edition of Wayne's Comic. The first thing I have to do is apologize profusely for putting things behind so much. I got really good and sick this past week, and basically all I could do was stare at the television, so I wasn't able to do much. And I included doing a podcast here and actually trying to assemble the SFP Now podcast because Sean had some things he had to take care of. So I'm really sorry about that. I really should have been better. My poor old 56-year-old body is really just kind of giving out on me on occasion. I also work at a place where we have lots and lots of paper shuffling, and some people just get the sniffles, but I never do. I always get a good, powerful headache and a nice, strong, destructive sinus infection. And so the antibiotics are working, though, and I'm kind of up and around. So first thing I wanted to do is apologize for that. Second thing, I wanted to thank Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray for talking with me about their upcoming projects and about Time Bomb, which is a book that both Ian M. Cullen and I really, really like. It's available now in trade paperback form. So why don't we get to that interview right now? Okay, I'm talking today with Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray from Time Bomb from Radical Publishing. How are you guys doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Terrific. Got to pick up a friend at the airport soon, so.
Okay, well, we won't take long. I was just curious as to if you would give us a little bit of a summary as to how Time Bomb came to be.
Time Bomb is a story, actually, that I kind of had in my head as a kid, and Justin and I got together and reworked the story, and we pitched it here and there, but not really much interest in it. And then a couple years ago, we met with Barry Levy at Radical Comics, and he was looking for stuff that wasn't superhero, that wasn't, you know, your typical kind of stories. And we pitched Time Bomb, and he loved it. Right away, he loved it. And he asked us if we'd be interested in doing it as a three-book series, and we said, sure. I said, if we can get, you know, somebody that looks like Paul Gillespie involved, you know, his artwork. And instead of getting somebody who looks like Paul, they actually approached Paul Gillespie. And they hooked them up, and the rest is how the book got together. But it was the idea that we sat on a story for the right publisher, and Radical is the right publisher at the right time for the book. And looking back, not only the right publisher, but the perfect publisher.
Well, I noticed it did a great job of publishing it. I mean, it just the art by Paul is just great. And I think that the trade is done so very nicely. So often book companies will republish things and they'll put them in smaller formats. And Radical doesn't do that. They put them in nice glossy paper and the right size format. So it really is a gorgeous trade.
Yeah, it's a great product. It's worth every penny.
I'm just curious, you developed a group of characters in Time Bomb that were very flawed and very different. How did you come up with the team that went back in time to face Hitler's problems?
Well, we looked at basically, we couldn't, since it's a book that was in and out, you know, meaning a full story, beginning, middle, and end, and we only had a certain amount of space to do it, we had to kind of look at characters that you would be familiar to a reader and yet introduce these characters for the first time, you know. So we had the James Bond type character, you know, the cocky guy, we got the killer, and then we had the couple, you know, and of course the female lead, who we always try to write our females smarter than the men in the books. So they're iconic, and yet they're individuals. And, you know, again, you have only a certain amount of time to introduce them. So we went for some obvious choices on the type of characters we wrote.
But that also makes it flow so much better. You can have such a better grasp of the characters in such a short, contained storyline that you really have to develop who they are very quickly because people are unfamiliar with them. So you start with a broad stroke, and then as the story progresses, you can really start to develop their character and make them stand out and be more unique.
So how long have you been holding the story looking for a publisher?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, personally, you know, I've had the story in my head since I was a kid because I used to watch this movie where Eagle's Dare all the time. I don't know if you ever saw it, Wayne, but it was with Clint Eastwood and Richard Burton, and it was about a group of agents that go into Nazi headquarters and kind of infiltrate the Nazi headquarters, make believing they're Nazis. And I loved it as a kid, and when we were kind of talking about this story, we figured, well, how would we update, modernize, and of course change that type of story? And that's how Time Bomb evolved a little bit, you know, because we were just trying to take, you know, like what everybody does with stuff they love as a kid, and then they kind of tweak it and make it their own. And, you know, it's what writers do all the time. I guess we never, the stuff that really meant something to us when we were younger stays with us for our lives. So this is one of those cases.
Yeah, it's just that sort of great sort of World War II espionage storyline. You see, you know, it's very rarely is it done well. And obviously, you know, you see the original Inglourious Basterds and some of the earlier war movies from the 70s that were much more exploitive. And this kind of has a little bit of that mixed in with the James Bond, which makes it interesting.
Yeah, the basic thing we're looking for is, if this happened, could it happen the way we wrote it? You know, there's a lot of realism in the book, and then there's a lot of science fiction. There's a little science fiction thrown in. We wanted to just cross the genres up, the World War II, the sci-fi, the action-adventure, and then put it around an event that is so big that the readers are actually going to care about what happens not only to the world, but to these characters. And, you know, again, the trick to everything is to make the reader care about the characters.
And that's the thing I think you all accomplished really well. We really care about what happens to the team that goes back there. And when things don't go well for them, we start to pull for them and want things to go better. So I thought it was a really good story. Ian Cullen, the guy who runs the website that I'm involved with, Sci-Fi Pulse, he finally got to see it in trade format. And I'd been buying the individual issues, and I couldn't wait to see the conclusion. But he got to read it as a trade, and he and I both had the same feeling that it was just a great story, well told, and we really liked it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, we're not rich guys, so when we buy comics, we want them to have we want them to be good. You know, and so when we write stuff, we try every time the best story we can. And we try to think of every, you know, Justin and I are big moviegoers too. And when we see flaws in movies, it drives us nuts. So we try to look at this thing as like, you know, because it's time travel, it's actually a flawed concept out of the gate. But we try to actually go around that concept and work with it and then mess with it a little more. So it's I'm glad you liked it. Like I said, writing it was a very complicated process. But reading it should never be a complicated process. Reading it should be easy. And so we're glad you liked it.
You know, you've touched on something. I think that's the next question is, it made a great book. Wouldn't it make a great movie? Have you all considered maybe pitching it and having it turned into a movie?
Well, that's what Radical does, right? That, you know, they're a publisher, and yet they sell their properties to film studios. So our job is done. Like, we wrote the book. They like it. People like it. It's up to them to go out and sell it in Hollywood, and yeah, do we think it would make a cool film? Of course.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Who wouldn't want to see time travel with Nazis? You know, guys fighting Nazis with modern weapons. It almost is too easy if you think about it. It's like, of course I want to see that. But it's up to them. You know, they have their agents, and that's their part of the business. And if they sell it, great. If they don't, well, okay. But
for us, a great read.
Yeah, well, for us, all we care about is the book, you know. What it does after that is its own, it becomes its own monster. But as all we worry about is the book. That's their business. But I agree. I would love to see it as a film.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I've got to, can I ask you a couple of other questions? I'm fascinated that the two of you work as a writing team. You don't see that very much in comics. Have you always written together as a team, or do you do things individually? How do you guys like to write? I guess it's obvious you like to write together. That seems to work the best.
Well, we do solo projects and we do projects together. I think it seems like a strange concept for comics, but it's done in film all the time. Sometimes too much, but
yeah.
You know, I mean, there's collaborations, and because you can take two sets of eyes and different brains and put them together and say, well, you know, where do we, like Jimmy said, when we watch a movie and we see things, it just makes us roll our eyes about it. We're always doing that to each other. Like, this doesn't work, that doesn't work. Here's your plot hole. How do we fill it in, or how do we get rid of it? You know, it's a very comfortable process, but it's also a logical process.
Yeah, and the idea that we both go over the dialogue makes the dialogue better, because we say it out loud, we go over it, we both read it. It's two people looking at it. So if something sounds clunky, the other one can catch it, and vice versa. So there's right. a lot of great things about collaborating. But it's not always easy, because there's got to be a lot of mutual respect and no ego. And, you know, that's not always easy to find, because I've had partnerships that involved a lot of ego that didn't last very long. But Justin and I pretty much, the egos are in check. We just want to get some good work out there and at the end of the day, be known for our work, not, you know, not for the stuff behind the scenes.
Right, because I don't get paid for having an ego. So if I did, then I would have a huge one.
Yeah, and it does, and an ego doesn't
get money, right?
The ego doesn't get me laid because I already got a girl. So
there you go.
Oh, well, I have to say, I've always enjoyed your Justin Hex book. Or Joan Hex, I'm sorry. Joan Hex.
I wish it was called Justin Hex. That would be kind of fun.
Except there. Yeah, Joan Hex, I've read it ever since it first came out, and I really enjoyed it. I like the notion of telling Western stories, which is something that's been lost recently. So you all are still – that's still coming out from D.C., right?
Yeah.
Coming out monthly.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to see the Freedom Fighters was recently canceled. I've enjoyed that book, too. You guys took a very different spin on a superhero group, and I liked it.
Thanks.
Look, we've had 3 Freedom Fighters series already. I doubt there won't be a 4th. You know, it's just the timing. And, you know, right now there's a ton of books coming out. And if it's not involved in a crossover, then it suffers. And retailers have to order heavy on books they know they can sell. So we understand there's a time and a place for everything. But it's all good. We're happy that we got to tell the story we wanted to tell in the 9 issues. So
yeah, we love the characters. We love working with them. But, you know, sometimes different doesn't reach as big an audience. Sometimes the people looking for something different aren't looking at the time in which you're doing it.
No, I mean, you know, you look at a film, what the usual top film is and any week in the box office, and you sit there and go, what? You know, but you realize that, you know, the mainstream, people look for mainstream ideas in their films. And Freedom Fighters doesn't really fit the mainstream.
Right, and between the two of us, we watch everything from the most mainstream to the most obscure.
It's kind of the way I am with comics. I read just about as much as I possibly can, because you never know where you're going to find something really great. I mean, you know, I some people have said to me, well, you know, Time Bomb, I never heard of Radical Publishing. And I said, well, you got to give it a try. You know, give this thing a look at, because Time Bomb is a really good story. And, you know, oftentimes when they actually go in and read it, then they're very surprised. And I'm trying to get people out of the big two and getting them into other stories. Let's read something because it's good, not because it's put out by a certain publisher.
Right, that would be nice too, you know, because, you know, there's nothing wrong with liking the big publishers, and there's nothing wrong with liking certain characters or stories or genres, but to only look into that, I think it hinders growth. I think you're missing things that you might otherwise really enjoy simply because you're not leaving your comfort zone. And it's nice that people like yourself and others that we know are constantly pushing people to read things outside their comfort zone.
Yeah, I mean, I think comics are the only medium where people say, I either read DC or Marvel. And I always laugh at that because I'm thinking, when I go to the movies, I don't go, oh, that's a Paramount film. I don't want to see that. I'm a Warner Brothers guy, you know?
Right.
You never say that. You know, you always go for whatever film attracts you. And yet in comics, people still buy certain characters and not other characters, you know, just by company. And I always laugh at that because I always think, oh, God, how can you do that? There's so much good stuff coming from each place. There's no such thing. I don't believe in the blanket devotion, because the blanket devotion, you know, makes sure it what it does, it puts a lot of good stuff away from you, and that's a shame, I think.
Well, sometimes it's like political parties. People will want to, I'll only buy Marvel, the best Marvel, the worst Marvel is better than the best DC,
right,
all kind of stuff. And I just think that you have to these days look for your quality as opposed to quantity. And, you know, one of the things I like about Radical, and maybe you could comment on that too, is doing a mini series or a contained story as opposed to an ongoing comic. Is that something that you're coming to? Do you like both, or I guess there's good and bad to each? Do you have a preference?
An ongoing is always best for us because we can pay our bills for a long time. Okay, so then, but sometimes some stories are not worthy of an ongoing. Some stories can be told in a shorter format. And the idea of dragging a story out 6 issues just to fit a trade book when you know you can do it in 3, I think is ludicrous because it's not fair to the reader. The reader has to read then a lot of watered down story. So it's up to the individual story on what format should exist. I think when you go into Radical, you understand you're not writing a series, you're writing a contained story. So right away you can pace your book that way. But like with something like Jonah Hex, we know we do the done in one stories. So we know we have 20 pages to tell a single story, and we format our stories that way. It just comes down to format and what we have to do. I'm sorry, I actually have to run. So I'm going to leave you with Justin.
Okay.
In good hands with Justin, and thanks so much. And I'm so sorry. It's just such a crazy week.
Okay.
This week. Okay. But thanks so much, Wayne.
Thank you.
Okay.
Justin, actually, the only thing I really have to ask is, what all do you have coming that you can tell us about?
Well, we have the Tattered Man coming out. I think it's in May. That's a one-shot storyline from Image, and that's obviously that's a creator-owned book. And then we're probably going to solicit something called Trailblazer very soon. I think Jimmy leaked the cover image that Dave Johnson did on his blog, which is the kind of a mashup of genres like Time Bomb was, where it has elements of science fiction, but it also mixes in Western and classic sort of hitman movie ideas. Sort of remastered after seeing so many of them and saying, well, wouldn't it be cool if this happened this way? And it's going to be one of those books that's like Time Bomb in terms of being a contained story, beginning, middle, and end, and a good chunk of read. But we're going to put that all out as one. I think it's 48, maybe 50 pages somewhere in there.
Who's printing it?
We're going to do that through Image.
Okay.
Yes. That's another one that we've been holding on to for a while, just kind of trying to figure out the best outlet for it. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, with the success that we've had with Jonah Hex as a Western, maybe the Western elements will draw enough of an audience.
Cool. Yeah, it's a good thing. I guess I shouldn't get your opinions on how the movie went for Jonah Hex, but that was I don't think that they really held the elements that you all present very well.
It wasn't really based on entirely what we do in the book, you know, and it's their property and they can do whatever they'd like with it. I thought Josh was great. I thought Josh looked great. And, you know, it's funny because interpretations of how something is going to reach the public can always vary.
Yeah, I agree with you that the movie really didn't, you know, and then you're right. Warner Brothers can do whatever they like, but it would have been much nicer had they followed, in my opinion, had they followed what you all do in the comic.
Well, I think what we were doing with a mature Western theme in the spaghetti Western genre. Because that's the kind of stuff that I love, the kind of stuff that I have seen tons and tons of spaghetti Western movies, because there's so much great stuff in there that gets lost in an overall perspective of the West. It's not just the John Wayne West. It's not just the Clint Eastwood West. And the problem is Westerns are still a hard sell because so few people make good Westerns. You know, and even with True Grit, I mean, it's a great Western, but it's also been done before. So it was kind of a safe bet name-wise.
Okay, and you're still doing Jonah Hex then for DC? Any other books that you all are going to be doing for DC or Marvel?
We're focusing mostly on creator-owned stuff for the first part of this year, and then just seeing what rolls out after that.
Okay.
So we have Tattered Man, and we have Trailblazer, and there's a couple other projects that we're working on that, you know, that are in the art stages. And I'm going to try and do a project that's just strictly digital with no print involved, and I want to see how that works out. It's a creator-owned project.
It's good to talk with you both, and I hope Time Bomb sells very well. It certainly deserves to. It's a great story, and it looks great, and it belongs on everybody's bookshelves.
Well, definitely cannot say enough about Paul Glacy's artwork. I mean, most comics understand that art is such a huge, invaluable aspect of it. It's not just pictures. There's a style and a technique that's involved in each specific kind of story, and what Paul did with Time Bomb is just so rich, and you're immersed in it from the beginning page. So
cool.
Can't say enough about Paul on that.
Appreciate you guys taking the time to talk with me.
Great. Take care.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled.
It's Wayne's Comic Review.
Dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
And let's get to this week's comics. There are several things that are out this week that I think deserve mentioning. Batman Beyond number 4, which is doing quite well. Brightest Day number 23, which really I think has to be the highlight of the week. Brightest Day only has like one more issue to go, and they do some really incredible things with the four elements. Four different superheroes or superhero groups represent the different elements. There's the fire, which is Firestorm, naturally. You've got the air people, who are Hawkman and Hawkwoman. You've also got Aquaman for water. And the interesting thing of the bunch is John Jones being the Earth. I mean, he's adopted the Earth as his home, so I guess it makes sense for him to do that. A couple of books that are not going to last too much longer came out this week, and that included Doom Patrol. This is issue number 21. Freedom Fighters number 8. And both of those are going to be ending soon, so I'm kind of enjoying them while I can, and we'll see what happens after that. There's also something very interesting, and my brother was very excited about this. The Green Lantern Secret Origin trade paperback new edition with the foreword written by Ryan Reynolds. You can read his foreword online, but it's quite a good book. Of course, this is Mr. Johns at his finest, so I wouldn't miss it. JSA All-Stars number 17, Secret 6 number 32, another great one. Superman Batman Annual featuring Doomsday is out. Weird Worlds number 4 of 6. I don't think that was had an ending on it, but now apparently it's only miniseries, 6 issues going out. Chew number 18, which continues to mull along. I wish that was would improve like it had been. Ozma of Oz number 5 of 8, another great interpretation of the Oz stories. Green Hornet Aftermath, which I guess I wasn't the first one to decide that I was going to give up on most of the Green Hornet books. Looks like most of them amended, and now we have Aftermath to follow the movie. Irredeemable number 24, which is another great story by Mark Waid. You've also got Jim Butcher Dresden Files Full Moon number 1. Always buy Jim Butcher Dresden Files. Great stuff. Great, great, great stuff. So I would highly recommend that book. The book to me that was the disappointment of the week was the JLA 80-page giant 2011 number 1. I know they're trying to do a Dante's Inferno with it, but God, it just was hard to read. They brought in characters that had no business being there. And I just, for 80 pages, it was a long, hard read. So I'm really sorry about that. I really like the Justice League. I would like to, if that had been better, but unfortunately, it wasn't. So I would avoid that book if you can. Buy the others, though. And that's this week's comics.
This is Mark Waid.
Hi, this is Amanda Tapping.
Hello, I'm Steve Pugh.
And you can catch them all right here on SFP Now.
Let's talk a little bit about the wonderful new things in your local comic shop. There's a lot more Doctor Who things to come out. They must think that the Whovians have lots and lots of money. There are Doctor Who Exterminate t-shirts that just came out. There's a Doctor Who TARDIS Vector Navy Junior's t-shirt that just came out. And also the Doctor Who kinda DVD. So if you're a Whovian, it behooves you to get to the Doctor Who store near you, which is probably your local comic shop. There's also a Justice League Retro t-shirt that's out, all different kinds of sizes. There is the Kingdom Hearts So Red black t-shirt. The Black Cat from Marvel statue is out. We've also got Spider-Man Splash Front Trucker Cap. I'm sure all the truckers will want to wear their Spider-Man cap. There's a Superman Splatter t-shirt. There are Star Wars Basic R2 t-shirts that have come out. Beginning to think people need more summer clothing, apparently. The Thor Stones Throw black t-shirt has come out. You've also got, and I find this always interesting, The Walking Dead Etched Stein Deadhead Dead Rules Fresh Meat and Rise and Feed etched pint glasses. So somehow I get the feeling that when you read The Walking Dead, they think you obviously drink a lot. So I'm fascinated by that. I don't necessarily drink all that much. There are also Batgirl symbol t-shirts. There's Batman symbol t-shirts. There's Batwoman by Williams t-shirts. There's the Japanese Batman symbol t-shirts. My goodness, Batman, Batman, Batman. And there's also the Carnegie Hall black t-shirt. That should be really interesting. I'm sure you want to wear that to work sometime. The interesting thing I think that grabs me the most, oh, by the way, there's a Green Lantern splash front trucker cap. So if you don't want Spider-Man, you can always wear Green Lantern. The thing that fascinates me the most that's coming out this week is the Flash Gordon Lost Episodes 2 Collection DVD set. There's also a volume 2 of that. Flash Gordon still continues to draw a lot of people, and the Arden Comics folk who are doing the most recent incarnation of Flash Gordon really are doing a nice job. And so I really think if you're a Flash Gordon fan, this is a good time to be that. And so pick up those DVDs. And that's what's out this week in the local comic shop. That's another edition of Wayne's Comics. Hopefully it won't be 2 weeks before I get back to you again next time. But anyway, until that, in the next edition of Wayne's Comics, keep reading your comics.
And so I leave, knowing that a world full of heroes has nothing to fear.